Oh, good morning, church. Buenos dias, iglesia. Bonjour, l'église. Here's a new one I'm going to try. Kanisa la asubuhi nyema. Is that maybe? Oh, I'll have to work on my Swahili. Okay, so here's the thing. God has come to set things right. Through faith, by grace, we who were once far from God, enemies of God, have been brought near and rescued and given new life. Now we get to be part of God's project to make all things new, to reconcile all things to himself, that God would once again fill and dwell with his people and creation, where God will once again be king, and his good ways are the way of life. We call this idea the kingdom of God. It is what Jesus has come to announce, establish, make possible, and live out. And John 3:16 makes it clear that this is done out of love, for God so loved the world. Jesus has come in the Father's love that we may be saved. And we get saved into what God is doing. We are saved into becoming like Jesus, for he is our example of who God is, but also of what it means and looks like to truly be human, to be restored to right relationship with our God and living well as his people in his kingdom. And for all who are saved into the life and the ways of Jesus and his kingdom, what we call those people, the church. And Jesus loves his church. And if we're going to be like Jesus, then we are to love his church too. So who and what is this thing called the church? And why are we called to love the church? And what are some ways we're called to love each other, to love the church as Jesus does? That's our focus for today. So who and what are the church? Now, we have many ways of describing the church in the Bible, but today we're going to look at three: people, a building project, and beloved. You may know this old children's poem with actions that go like this. Here's a church. Here's a steeple. I should do it this way. Open the doors. See all the people. But the building, or this building, is not the church. The places that house the church, like this one, are a gift, consecrated and dedicated to being a space that houses the church and enables her work. But the church is a people. It's you and me. All who have responded to the call and announcement that the kingdom of God is here have joined in with the church. And so really that poem should go something like this. Here is the church building. Here is the steeple. Open the doors and see the church. The church is people. And specifically at times we're called citizens. That is, we belong where God reigns. The church is those who have transferred their allegiance from the ways of the world to the ways of Jesus and the kingdom of God. We have been freed from the enslavement of sin and evil, freed from the fear of death. And hear this incredible good news that while we were still in the grips of evil and sin and death, the Father has come to rescue us. Colossians 1, 9-14 describes this well: the call, the privilege, the honor, the grace, the responsibility, and the great love of God has in rescuing us and making us his people. Beginning at verse 10 of that chapter, Paul here is praying for this church and the Colossian church, and he says this: May you live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of the Lord, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might, with great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Okay, Paul, we got to breathe there for a second. Why? For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That is good news. The church is those people who have been rescued by the Father and brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And there is privilege and there is responsibility with being citizens in the kingdom of God. The privilege is that we get to share in all the Father has for the Son. As Romans 8:17 tells us, we're co-heirs with Christ. And what the Son has in the Father, we get to enjoy and rejoice in as well. Think of the love and the joy the Father lavishes on the Son. We get to be a part of that. And there's also responsibility. Our allegiance is now with God. Our priorities, our loves, our attitudes, our behaviors, our very way of being is to be shaped and molded to the example of our Savior Jesus. So that we get to be this people who even in our weakness and also in our victories can say, look at what God has done. He has rescued us. He has welcomed us. He has made us his very own. And he's shaping us to become like Jesus, to enjoy and participate in his kingdom. The church is a people, citizens, and a visible sign of the kingdom of God. I love the church because I can't believe I get to be here. I am in awe of our God who would come in love and give himself and even dying to rescue us, to rescue me. And having rescued us, gives of himself, gives of his spirit, gives of his knowledge, his strength, his wisdom, so that we can become a thankful, rejoicing people who get to glory and live out the ways of God. That is who the church is. The church is also described as a building project of God's. And it is a project that is on the move. Jesus tells Peter that his church is built on the confession that he is the Lord, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. We are on the move to rescue people from the power of sin and evil and death. And how does God do this? How are we being constructed, put together to take on hell and see victory in the name of Jesus? Well, we are being made into a temple. A temple is a place where heaven and earth meet. That is his church. A place where God can be encountered. A place through whom God is showing his heart and his ways, an invitation to come and be made alive, made new, and the life that is given to us in Jesus. And that's what we are, a church, a meeting place between God and the rest of the world. A place where all may come and hear of the good news of the Father's great love for them, to see it lived out and made known in the person of Jesus, and now available to them as well as the Spirit is given to guide, encourage, shape, and indwell. In the church, we are to be this temple who bear witness that others too can encounter and experience the same greatness of God's abundance, generous, self-giving love. You can meet God through the church, and church, God intends to meet and then be encountered through you. I love the church because through them I met Jesus. I didn't know it was Jesus, but I couldn't keep away. I wanted to be like them. I wanted to be with them. And when it clicked that all these people, this church who loved me so well, were all wanting to be like Jesus, man, I just wanted to be in with what Jesus is about and is doing. I wanted to be a part of his project. And so where I am on the Lord's Day, I am with the church. You should know that if I get my way on vacation, I'm still with the church on Sundays. And I am in awe that I get to be a part of it, that you and me, God is through us, God is reaching out, entrusting us with this ministry of reconciliation, that through us, God intends to have a good and right relationship with people around us. So what is the church? The church is also beloved. You are beloved. Time and time again, Jesus teaches, when he teaches why he has come and what is he about, he focuses on love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And this love of Jesus is cross-shaped. It is a self-giving, sacrificial love. I find this song, One Day, puts this so well. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree. Suffering and anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he'd carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. That is the love Jesus has for his people. The love showing the Father's heart for me and you. The love that he would willingly do that for us, for you, his beloved. More specifically, we are the beloved bride of Jesus.
The way Scripture has best to capture the love, affection, tenderness, intimacy, self-giving, and faithfulness of God's love in Jesus to his church is through the picture of marriage. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." Church, we are the beloved bride of Jesus who he gave himself up for to make us that. I want to pause here for a second because for some of us in the church and for many more outside, the church doesn't look like the bride that Paul just wrote about. Holy, radiant, and blameless. Because the church has its blemishes. The church can be a place where God is met, but it also has been a place in time when we have failed, where hatred and oppression have been met and launched. A place of scandal and abuse. The church has its stains. We're to be this place where rescued ones can live out the life of God and his kingdom. But all too often, the world comes in with God's saints that we can carry and hold on to our sins. I can continue to live out ways of judgment and hypocrisy, of power, of control, of violence. I can fall into legalism. We can do that too, having rules take the place of relationship. We can fall into antinomianism. That's a very fancy word of saying that we downplay the importance of sin and the wreckage in its influence. And so we just say, well, we'll just do what we want in sin because Jesus will forgive us. It doesn't matter. We have our stains and we have our wrinkles. The church is to be the beloved of God, renewed and cleansed by our focus on our God and our God's ways. But sometimes we've also cozied up to those who would use us for their own ends, using our sins, our vices, our misaligned loves to further not the glory of God, but of other interests. Interests of nations and ideologies that leave brokenness in its wake. And so we have left our first love, the love that is to be our very life, renewing us, instead trading it for worldly and weary promises. And these can seem like two different visions of the church, this beloved bride rescued into being God's people, built and formed into a temple, and the vision of the church who turns away from the love of God, seeking the love of the world, returning to the sins and vices that ensnared, pulling away from becoming like Jesus, and instead being conformed to the world and its ways. But I want to tell you that the church is not, these are not two different visions. This is who the church is. We are both these things, a mixed up bunch. And we're mixed up because we have begun in that awful place, enslaved to sin and death and evil, formed and shaped and bent to their will. And Jesus is at work to set us free and to make us to become like the vision that he has for us, his beloved bride, his rescued citizens, his built-up temple, and all of us, the church is somewhere along that pathway. And Jesus loves that church. Jesus loves us and you. And this love is not a naive love. It's not a love that is blind. Sorry, next slide. Ah, there we go. We have a problem that we fall into that we think only the lovely are worthy of love. And so we can think to be beloved of God, we must already be lovely. And so we can dupe ourselves into thinking we're something we're not, better than we are, like that kitten who thinks it's a lion. This is arrogance and pride. And we can also try to add on our own works and effort and masks to cover up our wrinkles and blemishes and stains, but that's like putting lipstick on a pig. We who are in the church have to face three deep truths. First one is this: I am not as lovely as I think I am. In fact, before Jesus, I'm not lovely at all. That's truth number one. I am not deserving of the welcoming love, the saving and redeeming and transforming love of God in Jesus. Which brings us to truth two. The greatness of the love of God is not just that God loves abundantly and generously and sacrificially. The greatness of God's love is he loves this way while we are not lovely at all. that despite our blemishes, our spots and our wrinkles, and character flaws, a sins abundant in habits and all. And here's the third truth. Out of that love, something amazing happens. When we, by faith, give ourselves over to the gift of grace of God's love, when we let that love into us and wrap us up and get into us and through us, it will turn us right side up. It will unbend us and begin setting us right, healing us and setting us free. In the love of God in Jesus, we are being made lovely. That's truth number three. God's love is grand because it reaches to the unlovely. And being loved by that love, we become lovely. So, how do we get to join in with Jesus loving his church? Because if we're going to become like Jesus, we're going to love his church as well. There's no way to love Jesus and not love what he loves. Now, we spoke, one of the ways we spoke about a few weeks ago in this series on service, that if you're going to become like Jesus and love his church, it means you're going to serve one another. If you want to learn more about that, I'd encourage you to go and listen to that sermon. We heard another way this morning that if we're going to love his church, we can pray for our brothers and sisters who are in dire and persecuted places. And this morning, I'd like to actually spend our time talking about two other ways we can love the church: bearing with another and cherishing one another. Okay, to bear with one another is one of the most consistent and insistent commands in the New Testament to the church. Bearing with one another is what we do when we encounter and engage with each other and we just go, ugh, come on. Now, it's not to the level of sin. But what it's kind of like a holy way of saying putting up with each other in love. Okay? It is this, because here's the thing. When we come to the church, we come and we're leaving a lot of bad habits behind. And we need to bear with one another. We need to let go of viewing each other with suspicion and judgment, for those who don't agree with me or look like me. I need to let go of those things when people don't line up with my opinions or politics. We need to bear with each other because our personalities also don't always mesh up. We can rub each other the wrong way. And it is an act of love to hold on to unity and welcome and bearing with one another. As Ephesians 4, 1-2 puts it, says this, leading a life worthy of being called to be with and like Jesus. Sorry. There it is. Thank you. As prisoners of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another is an act of love to Jesus and his church as it places our unity in Jesus above and over every nuisance, quirk, difference, and frustration. And the bond of love we have in the Spirit permits us beloved sinners who are being transformed into being beloved saints to be together in love, because that's how God is with us in love. He bears with us. Now that's not easy. So here's what I find, some things that help me. Think of the church like a hospital. The purpose of the hospital is to heal people and make them whole. How ludicrous would it be for us to dismiss hospitals because it's full of broken, unhealthy people? The same is true of the church. We are those not who are perfect or who are made whole, but that we are those who know we need to be healed. And so then we should expect to find in the church people like me, who are unhealthy, who are broken, but we are here because we have found that this is the one place and the one person who can make us whole, Jesus, our great physician. Of course, we have blemishes and wrinkles and spots, because here is the place where we have known that he is the one who can make us well. And if I'm being honest with myself, that's why I'm here too. I need Jesus to make me well. I'm here because I trust that only he can take away those things, those sins, and cleanse me and make me holy. And so it helps me to bear with you all, and I mean that in the best possible way, to know that I also need you to bear with me as I am being treated and rehabilitated by my doctor, Jesus. And what is the result of this?
Well, in love, we are transformed. I want you to think of us like that pile of rocks in the bottom, a bunch of sharp, unpolished rocks just kind of thrown together in a tumbler. What's going to happen? Well, we're going to scrape and chip and dent each other. And in that process, we will be smoothed out and our rough edges lost. But this process requires us to let go, to become smaller, to be humbled, to be less. But the result is we will know what's important. Anything that is superfluous, all the insecurities will be lost because there's no room left in a church like that who bears with each other. And we will know we are on our way to loving the church as Jesus does when we are willing to be dented by the sharp edges of another. Though it scar us, though it hurt us, to help their refinement. We are to bear one another's rough edges as ours have been borne by others because we have all been born by Christ. You are to love one another as I has loved you. That is how the world will know you are my disciples, said Jesus. So I pray and do my best to bear with you in love because you have done that for me, as have others. The church bearing with me has helped my insecurities, my issues with angers, my struggle to be right, much of my early preaching, my avoidance of conflict and other weaknesses and faults and sins, big and small. And you are some of those people who have done that for me. Thank you. I am more like Jesus because of it. You have been a means of grace in my life. How can I not love you? How can I not love the church? How can I not be willing to do the same for others? Which brings us to cherishing. Ivy, your call to worship hit a bunch of nails right on the head. To love the church is to know that she is God's beloved gift. The church is to be this place of healing, of cleansing, of grace and time. A space to let the love of God sink down in the depths of us and sort us out and set us free. And make us living examples of the goodness of God. And as Ivy, as you also pointed out, it's also be a place of fun, of joy in each other. And this church is so precious to Jesus. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 reads this. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you have been redeemed from the empty ways of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot, blemish or defect. Jesus gave his precious life for the church. So then how can we not bear with each other knowing his blood was what purchased our redemption? How can we not see each other as gifts whom God loves and cherishes and do the same? Because we are his precious ones, his precious people, his treasure, his beloved bride. And so I want to encourage you to think about how you can cherish one another in love. As Romans 12:10 puts it, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. When we honor and cherish, when we hold each other well and treat each other as worthy with dignity, with honor, we're also honoring the precious blood of Jesus. That's what we're doing. How might God be inviting you to love his church and bearing with them and cherishing them? How is it that God is inviting me to let go of criticism, suspicion, judgment, and distancing, and said called to give my time, my energy, my attention to honor the gift of salvation borne by each of you in his church? As we think of this vision of the church that we are being made into and how we see the church as this place of healing, this where this transforming work is ongoing, one thing I know is that I can be a part of a church like that. Because I know I'm sinful. And if the church is only for those already perfect or good enough, I'm not getting in. Neither are you. And if it is a place of palliative care, just showing some kindness and comfort to those doomed to die, but no chance of new life, no chance of transformation, neither am I interested, because I need a place where I can come in as I am and then be transformed. I don't want my sin. I long to become like Jesus. And the only place where we can be loved as we are
and loved into being renewed and changed and becoming like Jesus is his church. And I want in on that. I want to be a part of Jesus' church. And not only a part, but I get to love his church. And that in here, in this church, I am loved and loving. I get to join in his love for his people. I get to be a way that he moves and shapes and heals and holds and transforms us to become more like Jesus. That is a church I can be a part of. That is a church of Jesus. That is a church I can love. Because as we read from Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Amen.